I say relatively, you say...
football? Sorry, I didn't know the way for me. Sorry, I didn't know if that was supposed to be the listener jumping in with that or it was supposed to be me jumping in with that.
Either or, listener, get back to us if you can get on the mic tonight. It is Wednesday night, London time. Flo's still with us. I'm just about alive, half a vaccine in me, feeling woozy, feeling strange. And that's just because I've been watching the Champions League. That's before we even talk about the vaccine. Yeah, here is a Relatively Football Champo League roundup show. Flo, one, how you doing? And two, what another chaotic night in the Women's Champions League, which is having a bit of a banner year.
Yeah, it was a fun day. A fun day of footy. Enjoyed it. I actually... it was annoying because I couldn't watch the whole of the Man City game because I was in an intense Zoom meeting for over an hour. And I know lots of other people were in a similar boat. So the afternoon kickoffs aren't ideal. I think Chelsea's kickoff time was, just judging by Twitter, like much better in terms of like interaction, people watching the game, and just getting involved in the chat. But I did see Alex Ibaceta's tweet about 600,000 people streaming it on
Massive
Barca's streaming platform, which is amazing. And you know, lots more probably watching it on BT and on City Plus. So yeah, good stuff.
Did you perform better in the meeting you were having on Zoom at the same time as the game than Man City performed in the match itself? That would be my first question.
It was one of those like really hard to concentrate Zoom meetings where you're not really contributing that much. So you just
sounds like Man City.
Yeah, in some ways you just sort of like sit back and take it all in. So it's quite hard to concentrate on those ones, knowing that you're missing a really big game. So I only watched the second half of the Man City game.
Well, I think that gave you a pretty good story. Listen, in case you don't know, it finished Barcelona 3, Manchester City 0. A full-on dismantling, this one. Ashuala opened the scoring with a brilliant piece of technique off a set piece, cool as you like, kind of 20-yard effort, pinging off the post and in. And then at 1-0, you know, at halftime, it really felt like Man City were probably the luckier of the two teams. Barcelona spurning chances left, right and centre. And then Demi Stokes comes on in the second half, looks all right for about a couple of minutes to replace a slightly wobbly Esme Morgan. And then Demi Stokes gives away a penalty. And what a finish from Mariana. We've had a lot of penalty saves in this Champions League this season, so it was no certain thing that a penalty taker would finish it. And it was an absolutely brilliant finish to give Barca a huge 2-0 lead. And kind of, I was talking with some people on Twitter, you know, 2-1 would have been a good result here. So I think at 2-0, there's still a lot of life left in this game. Man City playing away from home in Monza, Italy. And then, you know, Hermosa comes off the bench. Jenny, fantastic player, you know, absolutely world-class. She only gets 25 minutes today and she gets the third goal with only a couple minutes left. And Flo, it feels like this is maybe same old City or not enough Champions League experience, or I don't know what you want to call it. Weren't ready for the big occasion, weren't ready to have a plan B, weren't ready for someone to press them that high, kind of knock them out of their rhythm. What do you see was kind of what went wrong for City, or did they just come up against a really, really in tune Barcelona side?
I think it was a bit of both for me. I think when you look at how many goals Barca have scored this season, they are in great form, and it's hard to stop that.
100, I believe. 100
it's hard goals, to yeah. stop that, even if you are City, who are missing Steph Horton, their captain, so experienced. So they were already sort of down on their luck a little bit. And then I think they were unlucky. I think it was one of those days where things didn't quite work. And then you get to a stage where you're trying way too hard. You're trying to force things. And I think Lucy Ward said it best in commentary when she talked about them. Just doing one too many passes outside the box. Those moments where probably could have done with putting a ball in earlier or having a shot. They just kept passing it and then the opportunity was gone, or the timing wasn't right and it was easy for Barca to clean up and sort of stabilize the attack. I thought Barca defended very well. I think they were very organized. They never really looked that troubled. But then when the luck comes into it, there are opportunities where on another day, Ellen White definitely would have finished some of the things that came her way. Chloe Kelly, someone who's been faultless all season, missing a penalty.
Yeah.
It's just one of those days, I think, for City where things weren't quite clicking. And to come away 3-0 is seriously punishing, because I think at 2-0, to come away at 2-0 after a bad day, you'd think, okay, that gives them a good shot. At the CFA to win this. And I still give them a good chance because of the players they've got and the form that they're in the WSL, and also Barca's susceptibility to bottle it. Barca love to bottle it. Mm. So I think that's why I'm giving City a That's So Raven chance.
Huge. I couldn't disagree more. I really feel like we're seeing, maybe fingers crossed, and I think I said it on a show months ago that I really fancied Barcelona this year, and I feel like we this was such a kind of champions or winners elect performance, like an absolute coming out party, especially because they were resting a lot of big names and everyone just really showed up. I think we talked a few weeks ago about, you know, how do you defend against City, Lucy Bronze, Chloe Kelly on that right-hand side, and kind of reminded me also a little bit of the Chelsea City game back in November, where Erin Cuthbert really kind of was doing the damage. And I think you saw what happens when you unsettle City at the back and they're not completing passes. And Lucy Bronze, you know, who we love so much, was making errors. And once, Mariana and Oshuala are destabilizing City, that back four just really crumbled. And I thought, you know, Steph Houghton gets a lot of criticism sometimes for how she plays in 2021. But listening to the game, I didn't have comms. I was watching kind of a funny stream. No scoreboard, no timer, no score, no comms. It was very strange. But I felt like, and you know, come back to us, listener, if you heard this, but I felt like Abby Dalcamper, or maybe Samuels, but definitely an American voice, was doing the organising on set pieces. And that kind of struck me as like, oh, wow. And maybe it's always the centre-back's job, but I was surprised to hear.
Yeah, because Bronze had the captain's armband, didn't she? So you'd think it would be her who was, and Robart, yeah, who would be sort of leading things. But yeah, I didn't notice.
Maybe
that.
It was just where the mics were, but it felt like Dalcamper was calling Greenwood in and out of the back line, or how high to play the line, whether or not to commit, whether or not to drop. It always sounded like Abby Dalcamper was calling the shots. And then on set pieces, and you know, the first goal comes from a set piece, although not necessarily from the direct delivery. And yeah, it felt like Dalcamper was organising stuff. And you know, Mewis and Dalcamper, some of the best players in the world, have won everything. But could you say they don't have Champions League experience? Maybe you're kind of...
I think it, I don't necessarily...
They've played at the best level in the world.
Yeah, I suppose it is Champions League experience, but I also just think it's an unfamiliarity rather than necessarily about experience, because I think we are wrapped up in a WSL bubble a little bit. And even though we think that English teams are pushing a lot harder to beat the best in Europe, I think games like this kind of expose that they're not quite there yet. But I actually do think on another day, City could have won that tie. And I really do think that they were unlucky. I really do think in some of the moments in the second half, obviously I watched the second half. I didn't watch the first half.
The second half was better.
For me, I may be on half perception, but I feel like there were moments in the second half where Lauren Hemp was fantastic the whole game.
Lauren Hemp was fantastic. I'm not really necessarily talking about the left-hand side as much, but...
Well, I suppose it's
the quietest Chloe Kelly game we've seen, and I think Putellas and Mariana deserve a huge credit for pressing that.
And
high.
We have said before, actually, about teams failing to shut down that right-hand weapon and that link-up between Kelly and Bronze, and that if they did that, they would actually have a lot of success against City. But teams have been standoffish about that. And, you know, that worked today. They did their homework, and they realised that if they did shut that down, they would reap the rewards.
Yeah, I think I'm interested to hear your silver lining City thing, because for me, I think it was such a slap in the opposite direction. And I think Lauren Hemp deserves a lot of credit. She was kind of a one-person attack. She wins the penalty. She was able to burst through the Barcelona midfield and kind of attack Pereira and Mapi Leon. But I can't help but feel like the City just gave away the ball too much, and they weren't ready to be pressed. They weren't ready to have their rhythm disrupted. And Barcelona was so good at having quality in small doses. And I don't think, you know, Chelsea, just to kind of, you know, maybe we'll move on to the Chelsea game now, but Chelsea, what makes Emma Hayes so good, what makes the Chelsea team so good, is they can play more than one way, right? If they need to go direct, they can go direct. If they want to hold the ball, you know, we saw Ingle, G and loopholes today. So, you know, no England. They can kind of have a more fluid front three. They can play 4-4-2. They can do the kind of 4-1-3-2 thing we've seen. And it felt like City today kind of thought they could get away with their normal tactics, and it didn't really work. And I think I'm interested to see, like you said, if the game is not up, if there's always, if there's something to play for in the second tie, what does Gareth Taylor do to change things? And or should we see more of Georgia Stanway, who I think is ready to be a more destructive element in that midfield, especially as she has kind of come deeper from being a centre forward? And I think that's what City needed today. They didn't have enough bite. They threw away the ball. You got to take care of the ball, and they didn't do that.
Yeah, I think, I know we're going to go into the Chelsea game, but I do think where both teams were exposed today is in the midfield. Just seemed like there was a huge gap for both City and Chelsea between the midfield and the forwards. And I think maybe that's more likely to happen with City and Chelsea because they're playing front three. So you can quite easily get overwhelmed in midfield in terms of numbers and just trying to play the ball. And I think that there were, that then kind of seeped into how they were trying to play, because they were trying to make up ground where the midfield gap was. So they were trying to then do direct runs into the box, getting dispossessed, yes, then having to start again. Yes. And Chelsea had a sort of different example where they were trying to play quick passes, but they were so far apart from each other that every single quick pass towards Kirby, Kerr or Harder was just going straight back into Wolfsburg's possession. So it's kind of similar issues for both teams. And maybe they need to, like you said, maybe they need to be more flexible with their formations, because the 4-3-3 that's been so good for both of those teams against these European sides perhaps isn't quite as functional and as deadly as they probably hoped.
Well, let's get to the Chelsea game then. It finished Chelsea 2, Wolfsburg 1. Sam Kerr opening the scoring at the beginning of the second half. Pernille Harder making it 2-0, scoring against a former side. And then a penalty kind of only 5 minutes or so later for Janssen got Wolfsburg a really important away goal, albeit the game was taking place in Budapest. Flo, this was really a game of two halves. Really great watch. You didn't know what was going to happen. It was refreshing to see Chelsea sweat a little bit. I guess they sort of sweated in the Atletico Madrid game, but very quickly took control. And maybe this game, they kind of didn't have control of the game, took control of the game, and then sort of lost control of the game late on when Wolfsburg had a lot of chances. But I think, were you ready to see a team have 22 shots, 8 shots on target against Chelsea? Like that took me by surprise, no matter how many people, especially Chelsea fans, said, you know, they have a bad record against Wolfsburg. They've always had their number. You know, this might be a scary game.
I just think, what I mentioned about City having bad luck, it's the complete opposite for Chelsea. Chelsea's luck is at an all-time high in this competition, especially. Think about the Atletico game. 3 penalties missed in that one for Atletico. And today, right, Wolfsburg hit the woodwork 3 times. Berger made some fantastic saves. I suppose that's a bit less about luck. But Chelsea's goals, especially the first one, was created kind of out of nothing. It was a very much a moment of magic sort of goal.
First shot on goal as well.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where you need players who, you know, you bought them for a reason. You bought them because they're the best players in the world to produce those moments as to why they command that price tag. And that's exactly what Chelsea did today. And it's exactly what Emma Hayes has brought in those players, because if they're going to win it, they need those people who can do those moments. And maybe it's too early for someone like Chloe Kelly in her career to be putting pressure on her to do something like that. But with Kerr, Harder and Kirby, they're so confident at the moment. That finish from Kerr is ridiculous. I think the best goal we've seen her score since arriving at Chelsea. And the link-up play between G and Kerr as well was fantastic. Sorry, G and Kirby was fantastic. And yeah, the only unfortunate thing is that penalty, and maybe that's a slice of bad luck for Chelsea, but I still think it's just so high on the good luck juice. I don't know when they're coming down.
Could have been 2-0 to Wolfsburg probably at half-time, and AKB and Katchenberger makes a phenomenal save in the second half to keep it at 1-0, I think it was at that point. I think it was just 1-0.
And maybe a hint of good luck for Wolfsburg, the fact that Pop didn't get sent off. There was a discussion about that and that foul on Berger as well. And then they obviously got that penalty too. So Wolfsburg fighting back with their own good luck juice. I think that second leg is going to be...
A lot of juice.
That second leg is going to be crazy. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I think this game was one of the most fun... It feels like Chelsea are doing quite... for such a good team, they definitely... do draw you in as a viewer. Like the Atletico Madrid games were so incredible, and it was really fun to see them go toe-to-toe with Wolfsburg today. I think if you're unfamiliar with the Frauen Bundesliga and you're not watching Wolfsburg week in, week out, maybe you haven't watched much of the last Champions League last season, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at watching Engen and Oberdorf today be so fantastic in that midfield. And I think we've talked a lot about Ingles and kind of 2021 version of G playing a little bit deeper, but that first half, Chelsea really had it up them in the midfield, and I don't think we've seen that a lot this year. Big shout out to Neve Charles, Flo. Really seems to be holding it down at right back.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we? We weren't sure who was going to step in, and looks like definitely the right choice. She was fantastic again today, and it seems like she is going to be the go-to option for the rest of the season while Mjelda's out. I just feel a bit sorry for Hannah Blundell, who's, after being the main star of the show a couple of years ago when Mjelda was out injured, she's barely featured since Mjelda came back last season and is now kind of filler really in between coming in at left back and right back occasionally. So do feel for her because she's a good player, but Neve Charles has been sensational.
I think we might see some Hannah Blundell in the league this weekend potentially, and or in the cup. Chelsea can have a lot of big games kind of to finish out this title chase and the FA Cup. So I really think kind of seeing Neve Charles arrive on the scene as this kind of Cinderella story wonder kid super sub in the Atletico game, and now seamlessly take on the biggest game of her career and look flawless in this, and was fantastic against Everton the other week. I kind of think maybe Emma Hayes is going to give her some minutes restrictions. So yeah, hold a candle for Hannah Blundell. She's coming back. Flo, there was two more games. I'm going to go to straight kind of this one game wasn't necessarily a classic. These games have been really bitty and tough between these two teams. They know each other so well. Paris Saint-Germain and Lyon. Paris actually won the game in the league 1-0.
I feel like it's always very low score lines, isn't it,
yes,
between these two?
Very eggy.
Going to
it's
pens
naggy,
or
eggy
extra
games.
Time or wherever it may be.
Funny you say pens. So this is a replay of last year's Champions League semi-final. And Flo, it was decided with an 88th-minute penalty, which was very contentious for Miga getting done for a sort of ghost phantom off the chest, maybe not even in the box handball. I've watched it a million times. To be honest, just feel a bit sick. I don't know if that's the vaccine talking. Flo, I stopped listening to conspiracy theories ever since you told me I was adopted.
Are we still talking about the vaccine here, or where are you going with this? And this is a joke. We fully back vaccinations, and please, when you have the opportunity, get vaccinated.
Flo, should we be worried about a conspiracy theory with handballs in FIFA-regulated competitions?
This is UEFA-regulated competition, though.
Same beast, different name.
Look, the handball rule is always a bit shit. So I think whatever league you're watching, you always see dodgy handball calls. So yes, it's bad. But I don't believe in any conspiracies. I just think handball, even with VAR, people get handball wrong. And we had that whole drama at the beginning of the season in the Premier League, and they ended up changing the handball rules. I think they're changing it again now because of the how confusing it was getting. So handball's always a bit rubbish. DOSL is well known for dodgy handball decisions. Last season, you may remember when I think it was Katie Zellum jumped in the wall and headed it, and it was given as a handball, I think, by the referee. I think that was it. It was a pretty hilarious comedy situation. So, yeah, handball is just goes wrong all the time. But, yeah, I have watched the clip of that. I didn't watch the game because I was doing boring work. It was very boring. But it looked like a bad decision from the angle that I saw.
Wendy Renard deserves a lot of credit, stepped up and tucked it away beautifully. I was in and out of this game. I was watching a little bit of it, mostly because I love Nikita Paris and Cascarino, and they were playing up top in a kind of 4-4-2 diamond formation, which I thought was interesting. Good to see a little bit more of Cascarino, but part of me is like, does she do her best work down the middle or out wide? TBD. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting second leg. Definitely going to be a must-watch second leg, even though, like we said, games between these two teams can be a little dodgy. But Paris are going to have to come out and really get something from that game. And I think Lyon, every time I've watched them this year, they look not quite at their best. Obviously, very high standards. And so you just wonder how much they got left in the tank. This is a huge result that, you know, with a little bit of luck, they look set for another semi-final. And then kind of from there, where are they going to go? Albeit they're on the kind of quote-unquote hard side of the draw, playing the winner of Man City versus Barcelona.
This is PSG's year, though, isn't it? Isn't this meant to be PSG's kind of swan song?
Yeah, it feels like Lyon's swan song, but maybe that's my own narrative.
Swan song's probably the wrong word, because that's kind of like your finale, whereas maybe this is...
Right, that's why it feels like
Lyon's
swan song.
Yeah, I mean more like PSG breakthrough.
Coronation,
yeah. Like they're en route to win the league and dethrone Lyon for the first time in God knows how long. Could they beat them in the Champions League and dethrone them too? Then it really would be Paris's year,
that
right?
That seems like
Paris
a lot for one season. Nikita Paris hopefully is on fire next week. That is the real quiz. Final game was Bayern, who really took care of business against Rosengard, a team I've kind of been quietly rooting for after we had a lot of fun watching them in the last round against a sort of German-Austrian side. That Bayern won 3-0 at home. Goals from Dahlmann, Buhl and Berenstein. Second goal from Clara Buhl was amazing. Oh, Flo, counterattacks. You got to love it.
Got to love a
counterattack. Coast to coast. 75 yards. Just, oh, they had no chance. It's a shame because it was one of those things where, again, no comms on this one. Barely any scoreboard. I was on some kind of dodgy stream. But Rosengard were looking quite good from set pieces. And they obviously were struggling to break down Bayern. And Rosengard, even at 1-0 down, just between you and me, I think they're doing a bit of time wasting. I think they were quite happy to lose 1-0 or do something like that. So it felt like they were taking a lot of time to wipe down the ball. They were very happy to kick it off the Bayern players to win set pieces. They get a corner, you know, 20 minutes in or whatever. And they have some really good set piece delivery. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, Rosengard, this is your chance. And then obviously from that resulting corner, Bayern go down the other end. And within 10 seconds, they scored a brilliant counter-attacking finish. And yeah, your heart went out for Rosengard because it felt like they kind of got rope-a-doped a little bit by Bayern. And yeah, I think Berenstein was probably my player of the match. Lina Magul as well is just a fantastic ball carrier. He's great at drawing players out of position, changing the kind of the passing triangles that Bayern need to do. It feels like Bayern, sometimes this happens, I think, in a lot of American sports, that when a team is winning, you really see them hold back. You know what I mean? Because the coach, there's a kind of, I feel like in American sports, and come at me, Americans, but there's like this kind of weird thing, and maybe it touches a little bit on why people didn't like the US women's national team thrashing Thailand, but there's kind of like a weird unspoken rule in like some men's sports, or maybe not even just men's, that you like don't beat the opposition too much. And I think some of it is like this weird pride idea, but I think some of it is because you don't want to show off your tactics or you know, save your energy. And it really felt like in this one, Bayern Munich were quite contained. They were kind of happy with 3-0. They really could have probably beaten Rosengard by more, but they held back a little bit. And I think that will do them well throughout the rest of the tournament, so that no one has like too deep a scouting profile on them. And I think Rosengard will be really disappointed that they didn't, you know, conceding after 10 minutes, you kind of lose your game plan. They were playing five at the back. Like I said, you felt like they were really zoning in on set pieces. And, you know, that's always going to be tough. But, yeah, it looks like, you know, if things... I guess the Chelsea-Wolfsburg game, we don't really know. But let's say Barcelona and Lyon get through and Bayern are almost 100% through. And, you know, let's say Chelsea. That is quite a few new faces, Flo. Last year in the Champions League semifinals, we had Wolfsburg versus Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain-Lyon. So that could be, you know, 50% new faces if Chelsea and Bayern win their ties. Is that exciting? Do you feel like the UEFA Women's Champions League is having kind of like a fresh crop or a new coronation, as you were saying? You know, maybe Paris Saint-Germain win will have... Oh, no, I suppose that would still be just two new faces.
Yeah, in some ways. I wouldn't say those teams getting there is like new in terms of like surprising. It all still makes sense. like the numbers add up if you look at who's investing in their sides and what, how is that bringing success? And then you look at the semi-finals and you think, oh, that makes sense.
For sure. It's a money game.
Yeah.
Out of the 8 teams left, slash the 4 or 5 teams that look most likely to get through to the semi-finals, who do you fancy?
Well, are you sort of going straight with Bayern and Barca definitely getting through?
I'm saying that. You don't have to say that. That's how it goes. Opinions.
I don't know what it is about that second leg at home for City that I just feel like something crazy is going to happen. I'm just literally getting visions of Lucy Bronze like running with the ball in her hand after scoring after 5 minutes and being like, let's go. And that sparking this crazy comeback.
Finger
and
on
Barcelona
the temple,
bottling me. It like they bottled it in that semi-final last year. I just see it happening. I truly do. Mm. Can't explain why. Obviously, if Chloe Kelly got that penalty, my visions would have made a lot more sense. Call me crazy. We will know this time next week how crazy I was. So I'm going to go Man City to get through.
Oof.
Bayern are definitely going to get through.
I love you, but that's pretty... That's
I'm
pretty
going
mad.
Crazy. PSG to get through and Chelsea to get through.
Mm.
I just, you know, let's really shake it up.
I think Chelsea are going to see this one out. I think I definitely have a lot more respect for Wolfsburg. They've earned it. Congratulations. Get your brownie points in, Wolfsburg. But I do think Chelsea will see it out. I think Barcelona are going to get it done. I think Lyon are going to get it done. And I think Bayern Munich are already in the next round. We're going to be back at you, listener, oh so soon on Sunday with a really, really bumper show going through all the big matches in both divisions because every single game is on the stream and or telly world. Flo, it's going to be pretty cool, isn't it? No men's football to worry about, or at least club games. And yeah, whatever you fancy, you can watch any team you like.
It's a football fiesta.
It's an absolute football fiesta. So yeah, we're also going to have a special guest, which we will not reveal.
Yes, a very special guest.
First
exciting.
Ever guest on a regular show on a Sunday at the Whistle. What would you call it? Sunday on the Whistle
Yeah,
show?
I think we call it On the Whistle.
On the Whistle? Yeah, we got to get some t-shirts made on that.
TM.
Anyway, as always, I'm actually going to ask you now, listener, to rate us on a podcast app of your choice. It's been a while. But we'd love it if you gave us 5 stars. If you let us know that you gave us 5 stars or gave us a review, we'll read it out, or we'll read out anything you want if you give us 5 stars and or spread the love. Flo's looking at me.
I'm a bit worried about what people are going to write.
Within reason. And or, yeah, follow us, subscribe, you know, Twitter at Relatively Foot, Instagram at Relatively Football. Yeah, I'm going to go get some sleep. It's, you know, only the afternoon over here, but I've been up since 6:30 watching Man City.
You're
Barcelona,
crazy, man. So. I thought I was tired, but I had a relatively chill day compared to that.
Relatively chill podcast coming at you soon. All right, enough of that. I'm going to let you get to bed, and I'll see you very soon. Ta-ra.